This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mao, Kusu Truong and Wong Xiaoning. Now, it's 7:36 in the morning, Thursday the 13th of February. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill when Noel Lim speaks with Chang Wai-hung, Executive Director of Micris International.
Yeah, so they're an internet service provider listed on the Leap Market, which I think is the junior exchange before the junior exchange. You have Leap, then you got Ace, and then you got Main Market, right? So this is...
It's in the wrong order, but it's... Main Market, Ace, and then Leap.
That's what I meant. So I guess there's a lot of issues, right? So there's 5G, there's all that disruption thing, Industry 4.0. But they've really got some big clients. And I think they work for IOI Plantations and Kenanga. So it's all about the future. It's all about the transition from small to less small to big.
So well, start small somewhere, right?
Yeah, even public banks. So if they get it right, so yeah, there's a multi-banker there. But listen to them and see what you can find out.
That's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, so be sure to stay tuned. Now, we have also been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, and we're asking you, which do you listen to more often? Is it radio or podcasts? So we're asking you this in conjunction with World Radio Day today. Do let us know what you think. And we're also taking a look at the audio industry, particularly at podcasts, because the rise of podcasting has really democratized audio platforms in recent years. While a radio station requires a lot of capital for someone to set up, almost anyone with a mic and a connection to the internet can start a podcast.
Yes, I wonder who.
I have one.
Yes.
We know.
Are you doing a shameless plug now?
No, I generally don't, but I think the era of podcasting is nigh upon us.
Yeah, well, it's often been seen as a disruptor. Aren't you one, Kusu Truong, a disruptor to traditional radio broadcast players?
I think the big difference is that you can do it anytime, right? You can just plug in, you can choose your... It's all about self-selection, right? And there's a lot of it's not very produced because it's basically one guy and whatever he or she wants to talk about.
Well, it can be one guy or it can be a station.
Yeah.
But what it does is it offers then everyone a myriad of choice. Topics,
you can
conversations.
Choose, yeah, you can get very narrow or you can just go wide. A lot of people will go wide, listen to radio, but a lot of people with narrow interests go to podcasts.
So for a more in-depth look at the business of podcasting, we speak this morning to Mark Mulligan, Managing Director at Media Research. Thank you for joining us, Mark. Good morning. Now, podcasts have been gaining popularity in the past few years. What are the changes, particularly in consumer behaviour, that are driving this trend?
Podcasts are very much like a Netflix moment for radio. You know, if we think back to what Netflix did culturally and consumption-wise, so not even so much about the business, but culturally what they enabled to happen was a whole type of programming that could never have been made within the linear schedule, because a linear schedule has to appeal to a wide audience, and so there's always trade-offs and compromises to make something that's appealing to a broad set of people. Whereas the TV shows made for the likes of Netflix and Amazon target specific niches. And you can play around creatively. You can make episodes longer. You can change the number of episodes in a show, etc. Exactly the same is happening with radio programming via podcasts. And I think that is one of the key reasons we're beginning to see an acceleration. People are actually finding once you are freed of the linear broadcast schedule, you can start finding shows that really interest you that you might never have found on a traditional radio schedule.
And Mark, what are the trends you're noticing in the audio industry more broadly then?
The fact that you asked a question about the audio industry, I think, is central. One of the things that we look at a lot at media is the competition for attention from many different forms of entertainment. On a sort of an international level across Asia and Latin America, North America and Europe, when you add together everything in terms of entertainment, there's very little time left. We calculate it to be less than 10% of free time is left. Music saw a really strong acceleration with the growth of streaming services. What we're beginning to see is that podcasts are not just competing for radio time. They are competing for streaming music time as well, particularly within Spotify, which have podcasts and music integrated into the same platform. So we think that is going to be a really big dynamic over the course of the next few years, is podcasts not just eating into the traditional competitors, but even eating into the time of the next generation competitors of streaming services.
Podcasts are not exclusive to audio, nor are they tied to one style of production. Some podcasts actually come with video. So what do you see as the future potential for this medium?
That's a really good question, because those who have been in the podcast industry for a long time get very hung up about what defines a podcast. But really, what is important is that it is audio that is usually but not always episodic, but also not always audio. It's just a case of delivering content to people. We're seeing with one of the transformations in media that has been delivered by smartphones in particular is recognizing that those old boundaries that we used to have, because something used to have to come out of a TV set, something had to come out of a radio player, those boundaries are becoming less and less useful. You look at what has happened with social media over the course of the last 5 years, where video has become pervasive in our social experiences. Well, 5 years before, you had a really clear distinction about what social media was and what video was. Now video is just simply one of the currencies through which social operates. And I think we'll see something similar happen with podcasts. But I would say that, unlike with social media, it is likely that podcasts will remain predominantly in audio format. But we'll certainly see more video producers creating episodic content, which they present as podcasts. And we're seeing that already. So I think it's really interesting. The format is not owned by any technology company. It's not owned by any hardware company. The format is owned by the creators. And in that respect, I think it is dramatically more exciting than Netflix type content, because that is predominantly determined by the video services themselves, whereas podcast is much more a creator driven sector.
Now, Mark, podcasts are currently largely supported by advertising, although some production companies are experimenting with listener contributions as well as a subscription model. So what other configurations might we see moving forward?
What it is simply a reflection of the diversification and monetization methods that we see right across digital media. Creators are finding different ways to support themselves, you know, whether they be podcast creators, YouTubers, social media influencers, game creators. They are all experimenting with these different forms of monetization. But in terms of the audience behavior, given that podcasts are a success or an evolution of radio, radio itself is a predominantly free to access and advertising supported medium when it's not a state broadcaster. And I expect we'll see a similar mix in terms of how podcasts are monetized in the future. Yes, there will be some subscription basis. Yes, there will be some sort of tipping type mechanisms like Patreon, etc. But fundamentally, the majority of podcast content is going to be free at point of access. It will be free at point of access either because it is supported or it is bundled into a platform like Amazon Prime or Spotify, where a fee is paid for something else rather than the podcast themselves.
So what is the future looking like for traditional radio, and how might radio do well to evolve as podcasts gain popularity then?
So first of all, the slightly pessimistic negative view is streaming music services took away the younger music-focused listeners of radio, and now podcasts are threatening to take away the older spoken word audiences. It's like a demographic pincer movement. I think that is a worst-case scenario. It is more likely that radio companies have a bigger role to play in the podcast market than TV companies have had in the streaming market, because so much of podcasts is creator-driven. What that means is you have a huge variation and diversity of the quality of the production, the quality of the writing, the quality of the presenters, etc. And radio companies have decades and decades of proven expertise of knowing how to create high quality audio content. So it's an opportunity there to be seized. It's not an opportunity which will naturally, inherently fall to radio companies. The traditional radio companies who will prosper in the podcast era will be the ones who take a completely different approach to creating podcasts than they do for creating their linear radio shows. It takes an appetite to experiment with new content formats, to create sorts of content that they might never have created for their audiences in the past. The more that that happens, the more that those radio companies can see podcasts not as a replacement, but instead a transition of audience over to a new channel.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Mark. That was Mark Mulligan of Media Research talking about the audio industry and the business of podcasting. And he made an interesting point there about how podcasting is now starting to fight with the streaming music sector, particularly when you've got apps like Spotify that do collect both music and podcasts, because you'll kind of go for one or the other depending on your mood, right?
Well, it's competition for time, competition for attention.
Because you've only got 24... 10% free time, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, so that competition is vicious, right? So you've got to be really, really good to get the spare time. Our jobs are really taking so much of our time, then our families. You don't have much time left over. So I think because this competition is so vicious, that what you get at the end of the day is really, really good stuff.
Yeah, but then I think how do then traditional radio companies actually survive or succeed in this era of podcasting?
That's the problem, because they're constricted by regulation, they're constricted by budget, they're constricted by network costs. Yeah, podcasters they use the internet. The bandwidth is nearest free.
But as what Mark says, those who survive, I mean, the traditional radio companies who do, are those who actually rise to the challenge, become more innovative, right? Not just do traditional programming, come up with interesting shows, different production methods. Because at the end of the day, radio channels, like he says, We do have this wealth of experience, right, from presentations to content. So how do you monetize that? How do you change that is the question.
Okay, very quickly, since I've got two audiophiles in the room with me, favorite podcast, Shani, go.
FT.
Do more, take charge of your life.
Mine would be Foreign Policy and Love to Sew, because it's a sewing podcast.
Okay, nice.
All right, and that is, and do let us know what you think on the poll on the Twitter account. Which do you listen to more often, radio or podcast? We're heading into some messages, and then up next we'll be speaking with Julia Goh, Senior Economist at UOB Malaysia on Malaysia's GDP. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.